call this Volunteer Firefighter Pension Board meeting to order. It's Friday, May 14th, 2021. It's 8:30 a.m. We are in the community wing of City Hall. If everyone could rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. At this time, Madam Clerk will swear us all in with some oaths and make us official.
Will Mr. Wilsey and Mr. Dussel please rise and raise your right hand? Repeat after me and insert your name. I,
Martin Dussel.
Tim Wilsey.
Having been duly appointed to the Volunteer Firefighters Retirement System and Trust Fund Board for the City of Palm Coast, do solemnly swear that you will faithfully and impartially perform the duties of the Volunteer Firefighters Retirement System and Trust Fund Board as prescribed by law and to the best of your ability, and that you will support and maintain the laws and constitution of the state of Florida and the United States of America, so help you God.
I was hoping she wanted me to repeat all that. I was like,
yeah, I was thinking, I said, she better break it in there.
That's right.
Will Mr. Del Sordo and Mr. McDonald, the appointees from City Council, please rise and raise your right hand? And repeat after me, insert your name where appropriate. I, having been duly appointed to the Volunteer Firefighters Retirement System and Trust Fund Board of for the City of Palm Coast, do solemnly swear that you will faithfully and impartially perform the duties of the Volunteer Firefighters Retirement System and Trust Fund Board as prescribed by law and to the best of your ability, and that you will support and maintain the laws and constitution of the state of Florida and the United States of America, so help you God. Please join us at the dais.
Welcome to the family.
I'll make you take a photo of this.
Okay, so at this time, just to kind of give you guys a little history, the way the board is set up is two of us are appointed by the volunteer membership, two are appointed by City Council, and those four collectively pick the fifth member. Bob Schroeder, he's been a valuable asset to our team for many, many, many years. He's a CPA by nature, so he's got really been an invaluable resource to us over the years. So we would like to present him as our fifth member. And so at this time, I'd like to seek a motion to appoint Bob Schroeder as our fifth member.
So moved.
Got to see a motion. Can I get a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Any opposed? Seeing none, it carries. Congratulations, Mr. Schroeder. You're the winner.
Thank you.
Mr. Schroeder, at this time, will you rise and raise your right hand and repeat after me, inserting your name as appropriate? I,
Robert Schroeder,
having been duly appointed to the Volunteer Firefighters Retirement System and Trust Fund Board for the City of Palm Coast, do solemnly swear that you will faithfully and impartially perform the duties of the Volunteer Firefighters Retirement System and Trust Fund Board as prescribed by law and to the best of your ability, and that you will support and maintain the laws and constitution of the state of Florida and the United States of America, so help you God. Congratulations to all members.
All right, Madam Clerk, with that said, can we have a roll call?
Chair Wilsey.
Present.
Mr. Dussel.
Present.
Mr. Schroeder.
Present.
Mr. Del Sordo.
Present.
And Mr. McDonald.
Yeah.
All right, all members are present. We have a quorum. So welcome to the board, everyone. We'll kind of fill you in. I would remind everyone that we are obviously live, so if you could speak into your microphones, it helps the clerk later in life to do the minutes, as well as lets the Zoom folks hear what we're saying, so just remember that. A couple other people. people that are present within the chambers. We have Foster and Foster. We have Doug Lozen. He's here. And I can't see the Zoom, so I'm not sure who's on it, but I know our attorney, Pedro's on there, and welcome to everyone on Zoom. There you go.
There you go.
All right, so I seek a motion to approve the minutes from the February 12th meeting.
So moved.
I see it. I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, any opposed? Seeing none, the minutes are approved. All right, so at this point, we're at item number H, financial status of the plan accounts.
Good morning, everyone. This is the financial report for the quarter ending March 31st, 2021. Our starting balance for the period ending December 31st of 2020 was $5,229,640. We had investment earnings for the quarter of $184,125. We had pension distributions for the quarter of $37,375 and administrative expenses of $27,120, leaving us a balance for the period ending March 31st at $5,349,270. There are three invoices attached for your approval. The first for Sugarman and Susskind in the amount of $2,847.50. The second is for Foster and Foster, $2,473. And the third is for FMIT, which is an insurance payment of $1,590.
All right, I'm gonna seek two motions. One motion is to approve the invoices that Ginger read off.
Second that.
I'll move to approve the motion.
Got a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? None. The motion to approve the invoices. Second motion is to seek a motion to approve the financial status of the plan accounts as read. Good. Anybody?
Second.
All right, got a motion and a second. Who made that motion? All right, there you go. And second, so all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Perfect. Thank you, Ginger. All right, we'll move on to item I, legal review. At this point, Attorney Herrera, superstar over there, is going to give us more for the new folks, an overview of the plan and the sources of our funding. So this.
Sorry, I had to take myself off mute. I apologize. So good morning, everybody. Hope everybody's doing well. First, let me start with introducing a new associate with our firm, and she's joining us via Zoom World. Her name is Caroline Quill, and I just wanted to ask her to join us at this meeting, and so she could start learning as much as you guys do about the public pension world. So I just wanted to introduce her to you all, and I think she just maybe wanted to say hello to everyone, and she's going to be listening in, and hopefully you guys will be as nice to her as you have been to myself and to David before me. So,
hello, everybody. Thank you, Pedro. As Pedro said, my name is Caroline Quill, and I just started around 3 months ago. So, thank you all for allowing me to listen in and to learn and to soak it all in. So, thank you.
Good morning. Welcome aboard.
Morning. Welcome.
Good morning.
Okay, so for our newest trustees, let me just take a few minutes, and I apologize. I understand we have an agenda, and I know the board members are anxious to get to the business of the day. So for our newest trustees, however, I think it's important just to take a minute and really focus first and foremost on your role as members of this board. You are by statute considered a fiduciary to the plan, and what that means is. That is the highest standard of care afforded under the law, and your administration of this plan, excuse me, is really should solely be focused on the best interests of the participants and beneficiaries of the plan, as well as defraying any kind of reasonable expenses. So while there may be other hats that you wear in your life, city official, volunteer firefighter, whatever the case may be, when you sit at the dais and when you're administering this plan, we really have to kind of put our trustee hat on and focus on what is best for the plan, what is best for the participants and beneficiaries. And fortunately, I think for you, you have very experienced trustees serving along with you. You have excellent staff that really kind of puts this all in motion and sets us all on the right track. And obviously, you have extremely competent advisors in your actuaries and your consultants and your attorneys who hopefully will guide you in making the most reasonable decisions that can be made. And I think it's important just to take a moment and really focus on my last comment. And so, you know, as I'm sure you're all aware, there is always a Monday morning quarterback situation, right? So every decision that we make may not be the right decision or the wrong decision, but as fiduciaries, really our role or our goal is rather to focus on a prudent process. And by focusing and implementing a prudent process, we are arriving necessarily at a reasonable decision. And really, from as your attorney, my job is to protect the Board of Trustees. And so far as you make a reasonable decision, right, based on competent evidence, then your decision is legally defensible. Your decision is one that is in keeping with your fiduciary responsibilities, your fiduciary duties, and you are doing your job, if you will, for the participants and beneficiaries. Also, since you did just get sworn in officially as trustees to this plan, I did want to take this opportunity as well to not only remind you that in addition to your inordinate salaries for serving on this board, you are also technically considered a public official, and so therefore you are subject to state ethics laws. And what that means is, amongst other things, that you are required to file a financial disclosure form on an annual basis. This is the Form 1, which you may have already received. If not, I'm sure we can get it to you. But essentially, it's a public record. It's a document that has to be filed with the Supervisor of Elections in the county where you reside, which may not necessarily be where you work. And it really just, generally speaking, it will provide what your assets are in addition to potentially your salary through your public salary, your publicly available salary information. And so if anybody needs any help in completing those forms, please feel free to reach out to us, and we'll be happy to walk you through it. There's two forms or two methods that you can complete the form, either on a dollar basis or on a percentage basis. Generally speaking, I think I found most of my clients complete the form using the percentage methodology. But, you know, obviously, it's once you take a look at it and once you kind of read the instructions or anything like that, you'll have a better idea as to which way you want to go. But again, if you need any help, please feel free to reach out, and I'm happy to walk through it with you. They are due technically by July 1 for all of our existing trustee members. And for our new trustee members, they are due within 30 days of being appointed. So I would encourage you all to, if you can, get that off your desk as soon as you can. If for our former trustees, if you recall, and for our new trustees, it is a lot more user-friendly now than it was or has been in the past. You can attach it to an email and email it in, as opposed to before where we had to you know, mail it or FedEx it or send it via UPS or some other message carrier. So if you can, take care of it now. If at the very least, set a tickler for yourself, a reminder to get it in by the July 1 date. There is unfortunately a penalty, a daily penalty that the state will impose on you, and it is a maximum of $2,500, which is not a small amount of money by any stretch, and unfortunately, it's not something that can be paid by Palm Coast or the pension fund or your employer. has to come out of your personal assets. And so it's not something that's easily waived. We've tried many excuses on behalf of our clients, and not many are accepted. I can assure you of that. So if you can take care of it sooner rather than later, and I think it'll be better for everyone involved. In terms of your requirements or your role on this board, as I mentioned before, our role is really to administer the policy, and that is something that we don't necessarily create policy on this board. That's something that Palm Coast, the city, takes care of for us. And so when we are given the plan of benefits, that's what we provide. And as you are likely aware at this point, or else you wouldn't have signed up, this is a little bit different in the sense that it's a volunteer firefighter service. It's a little bit distinct in that respect from maybe other places that you've noticed in Florida. But essentially for plan membership, it's any volunteer firefighter as of February of 2009, and thereafter obviously would become members of this pension system. All volunteer firefighters are eligible for the plan of benefits that are provided in the trust document. Coincidentally, we, as part of the agenda today, we are actually looking at adopting the summary plan description, and so I would encourage the trustees, especially our newest trustees. I know you haven't had a chance to really digest a lot of this information, but the summary plan description really does a nice job of hitting all of the high points of the plan and what the benefits are. Right now, I think if you're not already aware, it's a normal retirement benefit of $65 per month for each year of service, and so it's a really nice benefit that the plan has provided, the city has provided for its volunteer firefighters, which is again, as I mentioned before, it's a unique circumstance and one that I think is really beneficial for the volunteer service. And I apologize in advance. I think you may have heard my son in the background. He's home from school today. He had a cough, and so COVID protocols mean you got to keep him home. So I apologize in advance if you hear something that is not as pleasant as my voice. With respect to the other requirements on the board. Obviously, we meet at least quarterly. There may be some special meetings that the board may hold, but it's at least four meetings per year. There is a continuing education requirement for our trustees by statute in Chapter 112. And so while it does not provide a who, what, when, where, how situation, it really just mentions or provides that there is a continuing education requirement. Generally speaking, we like to see our board members attend maybe one conference or one educational seminar, certainly per term, which I believe is what your operating rules provide for, but perhaps maybe once a year. For our newest trustees, there are some upcoming opportunities. I apologize. Are you all members of the Florida Public Pension Trustees Association, the FPPTA?
No.
Okay. So the state actually has also some schools that it puts on twice a year. Unfortunately, this year they're obviously with COVID, those have been canceled. But I believe we've discussed it in the past. We are more than happy to kind of organize a seminar, an educational seminar for the board members. We'll talk to your consultant and we'll rope Doug in as well, and we can put something on for the trustees and for the membership and for the administration, for city staff, and I think that would comply with the statutory requirement, and I think it would be beneficial or useful, certainly for our newest trustees, but as well for the membership to really have an opportunity to sit and listen in on what the plan provides for and have an opportunity, how it's funded. And how the monies are invested, and have an opportunity to ask questions of us, of the board service providers, and of the trustees as well. And we found that it really, you know, fosters a good sense of understanding, and really hopefully provides some insight to members who may not otherwise really know what the pension plan is about and how it works and how it operates. So that's certainly something that we're happy to do, and we can maybe talk about, you know, setting aside some dates that would work for everybody, maybe in the fall, if that's a good time, or maybe, I know we're meeting in August, maybe at some point before or after the meeting, and you know, I think it would be beneficial for everybody. I feel like I've spoken for a long time, and I don't want to continue speaking, since I don't know if you guys are asleep, if you guys are nodding your head, excitedly waiting for me to finish. So I'm gonna stop, and if you guys have anything, you can let me know, or you can just tell me to be quiet, and we're gonna move on with the agenda.
Thanks, Pedro. Can you touch a little bit on because the sound of your voice is just serenading to me. Can you talk a little bit about our funding sources for this plan?
He froze.
He froze. He's not moving anymore.
Good.
Did everyone? Nope, no, didn't freeze.
His eyes are open, so he's not asleep.
Like your eyes.
His eyes are open. But
nope.
Pedro's frozen.
Oh, there he goes. He'll come right back.
He left the scene.
Yeah.
He has fled.
That's that spotty internet service.
He's down in near Miami, I believe. Aren't you guys in Miami?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, they're in Miami.
Yes, we are in Miami.
Adventure out on a branch and say, "Do you know that answer?" She's like, "I'm
there."
I know.
Maybe I can try. No, unfortunately, I don't know.
While
understanding that it's a fee that's charged to everyone who has a homeowner's insurance plan that funds, is that correct?
Correct. It's actually a percentage of the fire tax that you pay during your homeowner's policy. So this plan is not funded with city dollars. It's funded with state dollars. And as a volunteer corporation, we actually get 50% of what is allocated to, like, let's say a career department was on the 175 plan, then they would get 100% of the available funds. Correct me if I'm wrong, Doug, but this plan is funded at a 50% level because we're 100% volunteer with no salaried employees.
Yeah, you get the 50, which is minimum.
Right. You know, so that's how this plan is funded. So we just kind of want everybody to know where things come from. And our obligation and our commitment to the city is that the city will have a $0 impact when this plan, which we're very funded, we're at about 140 plus, almost 150% funded for this plan, which is kind of unheard of in pension plans, but we were very fortunate in the past of some lucky being in cash when investments went sour and things like that. So, but based on where we are right now, it's very positive. So our goal is to, our obligation is to never cost the city a dime. So if it costs the city a dime, then the plan, they pull the plug. And that's our commitment to the city. So, and I think on that, that's where the fund, go ahead.
What percentage do they pay? Because I came from New Jersey, and any homeowner's policy that was written outside of the state of New Jersey, their home office was outside of the state of New Jersey, you pay 2%.
So
went into the pot.
Yeah, that's a 2% money. It's very, very similar. I don't know the percentage off the top of my head. Doug, do you know? I know it's a percentage of just the fire tax.
I always switch the police and fire monies. One is 0.85% of premiums, and the other is 1.85% of premiums. I just
so the fire is the latter.
Oh, welcome back.
There you go. 1.85.
I apologize. I don't know. I was speaking, and obviously I could hear you guys, but you guys could not hear me. So I apologize for cutting out.
At least it froze you in a normal position, not something crazy. So
it's 1.85%.
It wasn't awkward, right?
Fire.
That's correct. So the firefighter for the premium tax monies for 175, it was the 1.15.
I have
question.
Sure.
You had said, Pedro, that it was 2009 to present for the funding?
For membership.
For membership. Okay, so anybody prior to that is not qualified?
Correct.
Okay.
And I think I had, and I don't know, I know you guys probably moved on your agenda, but just really quickly, I know we were talking about the funding sources, and so the funding sources, and that may be where I picked up with you all, the funding sources for this plan are primarily from the Florida State premium tax monies for firefighters, which are based, as I think you guys were just discussing, on property insurance. And essentially, it's an excise tax on the insurance companies that's charged by the state and then rebated back to participating municipalities, as such as yourselves, obviously. And so those premium tax monies are allocated every year through the mutual consent agreement between the firefighters and the city. $200,000 or up to $200,000 of those monies are used as an offset for the city's required contribution on an annual basis, and Doug, as your actuary, he comes before the board every year and he tells you all how much money needs to be put in on an annual basis in order to first comply with state law, which is, you know, the city has to pay the normal cost, but ultimately it is to ensure that the plan is funded on a proper basis and moving forward is actuarially sound, so we don't have any situations that similar to what you might have read about in the papers in Illinois or California, San Diego, for example, where many pension plans are found or were left terribly unfunded in such a position where there was no way that they were really going to be able to pay the benefits out that had been promised to the workers. Here in Florida, it's a pay-as-you-go system. So, which is why the city, regardless of our experience for that year, of the plan's actuarial experience for that year, is still required to put in a certain amount each year, enough to cover 1 year of service as well as the administrative costs for the plan, so that we're not in a situation where future liabilities, just to kind of quote the statute, are passed on to future taxpayers. So, every year, and this actually happened at the last meeting, Doug comes and presents his valuation report and advises, based on the plan's experience, our investment returns, any kind of mortality issues that we've had, whether we've gone up or down in terms of the funding required. The state monies come in, presumably they're the same fairly often, almost every year. They're pretty much the same. And so any difference in that amount of money is put in by the city. I think for this last fiscal year, I think it was about just north of $80,000 that was required to be contributed. So it's something that is
that's incorrect.
That's incorrect.
I only say that because we have the city doesn't contribute to the plan on purpose, but by structure. We get money. We get an initial funding from the state, and then we'll get a secondary if there's residual incomes. But the city
right,
does
the
not
supplemental.
Contribute the supplemental, right? And then so our plan is solely self-funded, and that's our goal here. So if the city had to put in $80,000, none of us would be sitting at this dais. I could tell you that right now. So the city did not fund anything on that end. So.
Oh, I apologize. I misread the valuation report.
Like you said, that's where the funds come from. We're very well funded. We actually have a structure of, we have a reserve. I think we keep about $300,000 in our reserve, give or take, and that is a cushion just to make sure if we, some apocalyptic thing happened and they said, hey, we don't get any money, we would actually be able to pay for our current obligations. And have access. So we do have that reserve account as well, and that's funded at about $300,000. Okay. Perfect. And last thing, Pedro, can you briefly touch on, and I know brief is a hard word for attorneys, but can you briefly touch on the sunshine law, just to make sure we're all aware of it?
Yes, absolutely. So, as I mentioned before, by your service on this board, you are a public official, and therefore you are subject to not only the state ethics laws, but as well the Florida government and the Sunshine. And what that means essentially is that while you are sitting on the dais, while you are attending a publicly noticed meeting, you are able to discuss with your fellow trustees all of the board's business, right? Anything and anything and everything that you want to discuss can be discussed. However, outside of the public meeting setting, you are prevented from discussing with your fellow trustees, so those members who sit on the same board as you do, any kind of item that may come back before the board for formal action, right? So anything that you're actually going to be voting on down the line, you should not be discussing out of the sunshine, right, out of a public meeting setting with your fellow board members. That does not mean that you cannot have any kind of discussions with your service providers, so with your consultant, with your actuary, certainly with your attorney, with city staff. That does not mean that you cannot speak to members of the city commission or members of other agencies or other boards within the city. It is strictly with members of your fellow board, right? So only your fellow trustees, where you have to really be measured in terms of what your discussions are. You can talk about decisions you already made outside of the sunshine without any issue. However, I always caution to be aware and precise maybe with your words, because again, unfortunately, in this day and age, I think you guys are all aware, there's seemingly always somebody listening, always somebody watching. And so even if with all good intentions, no good deed goes unpunished. And so, you know, you really want to be careful with what you're discussing. And it's oftentimes a slippery slope, and you may not even realize that you've crossed over into a discussion or a subject matter that may be coming up before the board again. But, you know, if you want to discuss the plan's performance, you know, after the meeting and say, oh, the money manager did really well, and oh, this money manager didn't do that well, that's okay. But then when you start getting into potentially, well, you know, maybe we should be replacing this manager with another manager because they're just, their performance has been subpar, that's where you start getting into the potential sunshine issues, because again, you may be coming back as a board and voting to either remove a manager and hire a new manager. And so you want to be careful to gauge your conversations in such a way that you're really only focusing on past actions and limiting discussions that could potentially come back to the board.
Perfect. Thank you very much. I know, let's move on to item number I-4, discussion and review of the summary plan description. I know that we have a couple of new board members. Have you all received that yet, the summary plan description?
Yeah,
from Pedro? That's the financials. Do you know if it was distributed to them yet? Or not yet, because they weren't sworn in. So I don't want to.
Summary expenses?
No, it's a summary, summary plan.
It says summary plan description, City of Palm Coast Volunteer Firefighters Retirement. It's about 7 or 8 pages long. 8 pages long, I think, at least in my version here.
If
was it attached to the
packet?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't believe so.
Okay. So let's.
Does it look like this?
No.
Okay.
All right. So let's. We'll email that out to the new members, and then we'll move this item to be adopted at the next meeting. If that's okay, Pedro.
Sure, that's not a problem at all. And trustees, if especially for our newest trustees, when you're going through it, if you have any questions or anything like that, please feel free to give me a call, and we can talk about it.
Perfect. Yeah, we'll get that to you guys.
Thank you.
All right. Anything else, Pedro? Are you good?
I just have a couple comments as part of my report, but I can wait, or I can just finish up now. However you guys want to do it.
Yep. Just go ahead.
Okay, so just really quickly, legislative update. Obviously, session concluded a few weeks ago. There were no bills, no amendments that passed that would affect our plan or other municipal plans in the state of Florida. I did also just want to follow up. I know I mentioned it at the last meeting, and you all may have read about it or heard about it as well. But there had been a bill that had been introduced that would have effectively closed the defined benefit arm of the Florida retirement system. And again, I mentioned this not because it directly impacts us with this plan, but just because it's a fairly significant action that the legislature was considering. And so it did fail, it did not pass, but I will say that in the past, a similar bill has been introduced probably at least 5, 6, 7 years going back, and this is the furthest that it's made it legislatively. So it did actually pass the Senate, however, it did fail on the House side. And so it would have, again, it would have closed the defined benefit side of the plan to all non-special risk. So police officers, firefighters, correctional officers, they would have still remained eligible for the defined benefit side. But the majority of the plan's participants, so general employees, teachers, professors, elected officials, they would have been automatically enrolled as of July 1st going forward on the investment plan option, on the defined contribution side of the of Florida retirement system. So again, it would have been a significant paradigm shift in the sense that, as we're all aware, typically the public sector does follow the private sector in most respects. And its trends, certainly. And so, as you guys know, the private sector has really done away with defined benefit plans. You don't really see defined benefit plans too much in the private sector any longer. They've all really switched to a defined contribution model where you know, 401k or an IRA is funded on behalf of its employees. And so in the public sector, you know, the Florida retirement system is generally considered kind of the shining star, or one of the shining stars in terms of statewide pension systems. So it would have been a significant shift to close the defined benefit side of that program. So we'll see what happens next year, but for the time being, no news is good news, at least from my point of view. And then also for our firefighters, this is not something that has been publicized too considerably, but it is something that I did want to just bring to your attention, and that is that as part of the proposed budget, which has not been signed yet, and they're in a special session to approve the final budget. However, one of the line items has been to set aside about $208 million that's been allocated to the Department of Economic Opportunity, and those monies are going to be distributed in the form of a $1,000 check to all of the quote-unquote essential first responders across the state. So that includes about 49,000 police officers, 40,000 EMTs, 35,000 firefighters, and 33,000 paramedics. And so we don't know yet how it's going to be done, unfortunately. As a threshold matter, presumably it's going to be adopted and included as part of the final budget. So assuming that it is, the DEO has been tasked with providing rules or setting up the protocols by the end of this fiscal year, so by 9/30, as to how it's going to happen. So we don't really have a firm date or really a mechanism yet for how these checks are going to be distributed, whether they're going to be distributed directly from the state, whether they're going to be distributed to the individual municipalities or county agencies, and that they're going to pay out the checks to their employees. So we'll have a better idea in a couple months, but I did just want to let you know that is out there, and it's a nice benefit that the state is looking to provide anyway for its first responders. I think it's really as a thank you for everything that was done, certainly this past year with everything going on with COVID and the pandemic. So I just wanted to let everybody know that is out there, and obviously we'll keep you posted once we get some more information as to the actual specifics of it. And really, that's it. That's all I had for my prepared remarks. Again, thank you for taking the time to listen to my soothing voice and welcoming Caroline. And obviously, we'll stay here for the rest of the meeting. And anything you need, just let me know.
Thanks, Pedro. Does anyone have any questions for the attorney?
Thank you.
All right. Perfect. All right. So we'll move to the next item on the agenda, which is item J, which is our actuarial section. So there's several items on the agenda here that we touched on last meeting. There's another event that the actuary's been working on, so we haven't really gotten these numbers here. I'll let Doug give us an actuary update, and then we may move some of these items to the next agenda for review.
Okay, thanks, Tim.
I did go over a study in February, and I do have copies if the trustees wanted me to go back over that again today. We are still working on doing some hypotheticals for the volunteer plan. The reason they're hypotheticals is that all the items that we studied in the February meeting looked at increasing the multiplier. Instead of it being $65 per year of service, we'd go to 75 or 85. We looked at COLAs. We looked at 13th checks. The plan is so overfunded that none of those items had anywhere near a cost to the city. The funded status at worst went down to like 120% or so, whereas now it's over 140. But I said, well, if the goal is to try and get more people to participate in the volunteer plan, then what if that works by improving benefits and then you have more people participate? What does the funding look like then? You know, would it come close to the city having a requirement? At some point, the answer would be yes. I mean, if you quintuple the number of people overnight to participate, like you went on a big campaign and everybody just started knocking down the doors and said, I want to be a volunteer firefighter now with Palm Coast, there would come a point when you'd have so many participants that even the state monies wouldn't cover it. And the plan would not be over 100% funded. So we're still working on a couple of scenarios, and they're completely hypothetical. I've been thinking about how to do that, and I think I would run it under, we know what the average age of a volunteer firefighter is now. They're older. They come from somewhere else. They're either retired or semi-retired. And so I would look at, well, let's look at maybe increasing that by 50 or 100%, but let's also look at other scenarios where younger people would be encouraged. I'm thinking maybe somebody around the age of 30 or so. So I'm still putting that together, as well as I'm working on some studies with the union. So there's a lot of irons in the fire right now that we're working on, but I will shortly finish up the volunteer study with those hypotheticals, and it'll be out within the next couple of weeks. If desired, I can go over it at the August meeting, or even before then, if somehow somebody wants to put together phone conferences or something, depending, I'm happy to do that as well. But I'm back up in this area about every 3 months with meetings in Jacksonville and Neptune and so on, so I'll be happy to go over it at the August meeting if desired.
If you ever need somebody to discuss anything with, I was a firefighter here in Palm Coast in the 80s and okay. the 90s as a volunteer when there was no paid services.
Okay.
And what we did back then, we needed firefighters. So we always opened the house, as many as possible. Once they started becoming paid, they cut the number of how many volunteers they were allowing in each house. So if you had maximum amount of paid firefighters to fill every position, you had X amount of volunteers to fill the extra positions, and you cut it. When one left, you added one to it. Okay. So if we kept it at a certain number, maybe that would be a better idea.
Okay, it could be, yeah.
A limited number.
Yeah, I think for the initial stab of my study is just to gauge the sensitivity of funding. And I have no idea what a policy might be nowadays regarding full-time versus volunteer, but I figure if I run two scenarios, a 50% increase and a doubling, 100% increase, using two different age groups, one the current and then one like younger, age 30 or so coming in, that'll give you some sensitivity analysis, and then we could just kick it around from there if we need to fine-tune it. But those are good points. I appreciate that.
Any other questions for Doug? No? Okay. All right, so those items J5, 6, 7, 8, we will move to the August agenda. Thank you. And then we'll cover those costs then. Just a recap, what happened at the last meeting to kind of catch you all up to speed. We proposed a couple of different plan improvements. and we wanted to see how they would affect the plan. One of them was, which we actually voted on to put into play, was a graduating vesting. So currently we have two plans. We have a share plan and we have a defined benefit. The defined benefit is what Pedro was talking about. That is currently $65 per month per year of service. So in essence, if you did 10 years of service, you would get $650 a month at retirement. Okay, so that's how the defined benefit currently works. Where obviously we don't have salaries, so it can't be salary based. So that's why the defined benefit actually has a number in it. The second part is a share plan. That money, the contribution could be $0 a year. Could be $1,000. It just depends. There's a formula on the back end. It's whatever excess funds we have after all the expenses are paid for the year. Those monies are divided amongst the active members, and it's based on years of service. So if you have $1,000 and then you had 10 years of service, everybody would get $100 into their share plan, you know, just for round numbers. So what we did on that is what we were seeing is that the share plan was folks that did not make the full vesting, which was 5 years, which is our current vesting, they would get hired, and you know, even by our department, and we did not. Their money would go back into forfeited funds, which would be, you know, allocated later. So we didn't feel that people that got rewarded with a job by our department should be penalized. So if they did complete a year of volunteering or 2 years, then we did a graduated vesting on the share plan only if you got hired by our department. So if you do get hired by the City of Palm Coast, then you would get, if you did 2 years as a volunteer completed, you would have 40% of that money, whatever was in that account. So if it was $1,000, you get $400, you know, whatever. But we didn't want them to totally walk away empty-handed if they gave us, you know, 2, 3, 4 years of service just because they didn't get vested. So we did it. We did adopt that. And a couple of other items that were discussed were similar on the defined benefit, not graduating, but right now it's $65 after 5 years. So what we proposed was 5 years of service, increasing that to 75 because it hasn't been raised in almost 10 years. And then once you reach 8 years of service, we would go to 85. And then if a person makes 10 years or more, then they would be at that $100 level. But just an incentive to have longer term volunteers is what we were looking for. So there was a couple other things that he's going to work on, but those are the gist of what was proposed, just to kind of get you up to speed. So, all right.
Question.
Yes, sir.
If somebody's a volunteer now, currently in the city, and they get offered a job as being a paid firefighter, sure, can they still stay on as a volunteer and collect this money?
Not in the same department. Most departments won't allow you to volunteer everywhere else because you put yourself at risk.
No. Can they volunteer? If they're a volunteer now, and then they get a job offer here,
right,
now, can they stay on as a volunteer here?
No. They literally, they pass the wand at that time. Now, if they, let's say they did 2.5 years and they had 2 good years on their vesting, they always have that. So let's say they go to the career side and they do 25 years of service and they return, then they would have 2 good years and then, you know, they can move forward with that. So currently we don't have an expiration on their years, but no, you can't double dip. You can't do both.
So they could come back after that 25 and start again at year 3.
Correct.
Okay.
So, and we don't. Our plan is not designed to issue partial years, so you don't get like 2.6 years or something like that. Not that I'm aware of. And then, so when you return, you would have that 2 years, and you would start from there. So, is that
okay,
correct, Ben? Yeah. Okay. All right. All right. Let's move to item number K, which is new business. So I'm going to be ordering a plaque for a former member, Charlie Esposito, and I just want to reach out to the board and see if there's any verbiage that anyone wants in it, or we just want to say something to the effect of thank you for your years of service. I mean, he was pinnacle in getting this plan started in the way it was, and so I didn't know if anyone had anything they wanted to say specifically, or do you want me to just come up with something?
Possibly the years of service that he served on the board.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, maybe or combined years of service. Was he a founding member of the?
He's a charter member.
Right.
Yep.
And then also he's got multiple years of service within the volunteer organization.
Yep.
Right.
So maybe both, you know, mention both.
Okay.
You know, like it's a subset. You know,
okay.
Found, you know.
Are you
going to
use the Maltese cross on there?
and also
probably
volunteer, an active volunteer for however many more.
Okay. All right, I'll write, I'll put together something, write it up, and then I'll have them give me a proof, and I'll send it to the board, and if anybody likes it, then we'll move forward with having it printed. Okay.
Good. How many years did he serve? I'm new, so I don't know. I don't even know the gentleman, but how many years did he serve?
Well over 20. He was, he probably was a volunteer when you were back here, late 80s.
I remember the name very well, yes.
He's been here a very long time. I'd have to get the exact number, but I know.
This gentleman over here I know very well as well. He probably doesn't remember me because last time he saw me, I had long hair.
Did he ever do anything where they would make him like an honorary member of the board for life?
Yeah, we could do that.
Emeritus.
You know, I mean, I know they did that up north, that, you know, if you spent, you know, 40 years on a department or something, they made you a, you know, an honorary member of the department, and you got all the rights and privileges of a current sitting board member.
Yeah.
I think that would be pretty cool.
Okay. Yeah, I'll discuss that with Pedro. We don't really have any rights, though, just so you know. I'm just kidding.
Other than the right to get fined if you don't follow
your... That's right. We have the right. You have the right to file a Form 1 once a year. So, all right, yeah, I'll look into all those. Pedro, this question is for you. I know that we had discussed staggered term limits in the past, and I didn't know if we were going to move forward with that. This item will be under new business, not on the agenda. But is that something that we need to pursue, or do we stick the way we are, status quo?
No, we can certainly do. We can certainly stagger the terms. I think, you know, just in terms of succession, it's always a good idea. I don't know, historically what the turnover has been on the board, but, for example, we just have three new members, right? So, I think it's a good idea. Generally speaking, it's the way that we would do it. I would say, for the first year. Do we have 4-year terms or 2-year terms?
2-year terms.
2-year terms. So we can, there's also the possibility, and I don't know, obviously if it's something that is something the board is interested in, but there is an opportunity to extend the terms to a little bit longer, which may also, help in kind of retaining folks and ease up having to find other people to appoint or potentially having the elections not quite as often. So that's an option as well. And we could do both at the same time and essentially extend the terms to 4 years. Everybody would remain in the term that they have now, right? So the current term would still be in place. And let's say, for example, the 4-year term would only begin after the current term has expired. And then we would just stagger them accordingly, so we would have, one with 1 year, one with 2 years, one with 3 years, and so on and so forth, to allow for different exit dates.
Okay. Okay, let me do a little research, because I know in the past meeting we've actually had this discussion. I thought a determination was made, and I think at that time I think it kind of went away with some retirements. So unfortunately, the selected folks to have a longer term or a shorter term kind of went away because of retirements. But let's do the research. I'll put it on the next agenda, and then we'll discuss, how.
Yeah, I was going to say I can check. Let me go through our notes also and see if I can come up with exactly what happened if you guys talked about it before, and then we can just we'll have a plan or at least maybe a recommendation at the next meeting as to exactly how to do it.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you.
Okay.
Anyone have any thoughts on term limits, or just wait to see what comes?
Whatever
out?
The board comes up with is a.
Yeah,
I
think it's good because it keeps some experience on the board even when there's transition.
Okay. Perfect. We'll look at that, and then we'll look at the staggered terms, and that way, it'll only be.
But years ago, we've been over this before.
Right, and that's what I thought. Yeah. So, and I thought at that meeting we actually, I know that there's two appointed by the membership. So one was, say, 1 year, and the second one was 2 years. And then the other one, and I thought that's how it was, but I think, like I said, with retirements, it kind of got lost in the shuffle. So I think that we just revisit that and go from there. Because, all right, perfect. Thank you.
For justice.
You want a lifetime appointment? All right. So Marty wants a Supreme Court adjustment appointment. So, all right, perfect.
Be careful what you wish for.
That's right. So, all right, we'll move to item L on the agenda, old business. There's nothing on the agenda. Is there anything else anyone would like to discuss? No?
There's an item here, the updates on the union moving forward with the planned merger.
That's currently in the works, so we're going to table that to the next meeting because we don't really have any answers on that yet. The union's working on it. We'll find out more once they, I think right now they're looking at their options, and then once they come back with a solid presentation, then we'll know more. How's it going to affect us moving forward? Okay. All right. Seeing the old business, we'll move to item M, public comments.
We have no callers. Sure, Wesley.
All right. Perfect. It's an overwhelming crowd here in the chambers, so. No public comments. Moving forward, discussions by board members not on the items not on the agenda. Anything? Nope.
I have a question.
Sure.
Since I'm the new kid on the block, it says here that if you have 10 years of service, you get $100 a month.
That was the proposed. That's what the actuary is working on.
Okay.
Now, currently it's a flat 5 years vesting, $65. That's what you get. And depending on, no matter how many years of service you have.
That was my second question.
Okay.
Okay, so from day one to 5 years, you don't get anything.
Correct.
Okay. Why?
Now, the plan architecture was built many, many, many years ago. And then, so you have to, the defined benefit portion is based on your vesting. We have a five-year vesting period. So if you don't reach the vesting period, then, you know, thank you for your service. But unfortunately, the plan wouldn't pay you. And that's what we're proposing to change in some aspects.
Now, do you get this money for the rest of your life?
At retirement age.
Okay, and what's the retirement age?
65. And then there's an early retirement age caveat of 55, which would be a reduced amount.
Okay, and what happens if you get hurt on the job?
I believe there's full vesting.
And you're forced to retire.
Yep.
What would you get then?
I think you'd get full vesting.
You get full vesting.
There's...
Go ahead, Pedro.
So exactly. I was going to say that depending on the disability, you would either be fully vested if you're fully disabled, or if you come back to work, you would get credit for the time frame where you were, I guess, temporarily disabled.
Okay.
Is there a plan or is there a thought or an idea for prior service people for Palm Coast, like myself, who was here from 82 to 91?
So we had this discussion in great length actually a few years ago, and the only issue with that is we presented it, but the problem is when the funding source started.
Correct.
You know, so we didn't have funding from the 80s,
right.
You know, so in order to fund the plan all the way back to God knows how many members.
It was all volunteer back then.
Right. That would be the issue, is funding it,
right.
And how we would fund it. Because immediately if we went back, I believe when the inception of the plan, they went back 5 years prior
okay.
to the plan,
okay.
when they drew up the plan. So the initial members and then whoever was inclusive within the 5 years prior to that, when the plan started, everyone got vesting. They were 100% vested at that point. They got up 5 years of credit. And then whatever members were in there got that credit as well. But they couldn't go back more than 5 years because of funding,
right.
Because we don't rely on the city for funding. So we got to make sure that we don't impede into that gray area.
Okay. I was just wondering about that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yep. Any other items? All right. Seek a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All right. Have a good day. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank
okay,
you.
Everyone.
Nice to meet you.
Have a great
nice
day.
You
Thank you all.
You too.
Nice seeing you again.
Yep.
Get a picture on the back.
We'll see you guys in August.